This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. We're continuing in Daf HaShavua. This week's plot is Daf Kuf Dalet. We begin Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. Two lines in the bottom. Tanya. We learned in a Braisa, Rebbe Mutal Bitzipoiri. Rebbe was laid in Sipoiri, meaning he lived in Sipoiri, Umaka Muchanai Bebe Sharim, and he had a kever prepared for him in Beis Sharim, meaning Rebbe in his illness was in Sipoiri, and his burial spot was prepared in Beis Sharim. Now that doesn't mean he was ultimately buried in Beis Sharim, it just means he had a plot in Beis Sharim. But Tanya, we learned in a braisa, tzedek, tzedek, terdoif. Righteousness, righteousness, you should pursue halach, acha, Rebbe, le Beis Sharim. Run after Rebbe to Beis Sharim. Which implies that Rebbe lived in Beis Sharim. So it's not just he had a kever in Beis Sharim, but he lived there. So Gemara says, yes, Rebbe Beis Sharim have it. Rebbe lived in Beis Sharim. Elakim in the chalash, but because he got ill, am tuye le tzipayri. They brought him to Tzipori, the medallia, it's high up, ubasim, and the air is aromatic. Ubasim avira. Now, I want to tell you something very interesting. The Gemara says, according to Rashi, that Rebbe had a kever in Beis Sharim. It's interesting, the Gemara doesn't say he was buried in Beis Sharim. Now, I personally have been to Rebbe's kever in Tzipori. So even though Rashi learns he had makay muchanlay, it doesn't mean he was buried in Beis Sharim, because I was at Rebbe's kever in Tzipori. It happens to be I was also at Rebbe's kever in Beis Sharim. And there are two different opinions where Rebbe was buried. I was at both of them. I believe there's a traditional spot where Alpi Chazal, they say he is, and I believe that's Beis Sharim, and like what people say he is, and that's Tzipori. I'm not sure which one is which, but I do know that in the Chidushim of Reb Shimon Agassi, who is a Mekubal in the times of the Ben Ishchai, he was Maspid the Ben Ishchai, and he said that the Ben Ishchai was like Rebbe, that just like Rebbe has two Kavarim, the Ben Ishchai has a kever in Baghdad where he was originally buried. And anyone who ever went to Har HaZeisim knows that he also has a kever on Har HaZeisim. And the Mekubalim say that he was moved in the middle of the night. So what that means, I wasn't there personally when they moved him. And I was at the Ben Ishchai's kever, but that kever was in Har HaZeisim. I was not at the kever yet in Baghdad. Although I have seen pictures of it. And then Rav Shimon HaGassi compares the Ben Ishchai to Yosef HaTzadik, who also had two kvarim. First he was buried in Egypt, and then he was buried in Shechem. So we have these three individuals who had two spots. Yosef, the Ben Ishchai, who was a Gilgal, a Nitzot of Yosef, and Rebbe. Anyway, the Gemara continues, Hu yoyma denach nafshe the Rebbe, on the day Rebbe passed away, goes Rabban Tanisa, the rabbis decreed a fast, Uba'u rachame, and they prayed for mercy, Va'amri, and they said, Komanda amar nach nafshe the Rebbe, anyone who says that Rebbe died, yidkar b'cherev, he should be pierced by the sword. Now that's very interesting. We never find that such a big deal was made about the death of any tzaddik, but apparently Rebbe's death was needed to be avoided like the plague. Slika amsid Rebbe l'igra. The maidservant of Rebbe went up to the roof. Amran, she said as follows. She said, Elyoinim mevakshim esrei v'tachtoinim mevakshim esrei. The upper worlds, they're looking for Rebbe, they're seeking him out, and the lower worlds, they want Rebbe. May it be the will of God that the lower world prevails over the upper world. But when the maidservant saw how often Rebbe had to go to the bathroom and take off his tefillin and put it back on and it was distressful to him, Amra, she said, may it be the will of God that the upper worlds prevail over the lower worlds. Now, Tosus asks that if Rabbi Taka had this digestive illness, then he's not allowed to wear a tefillin in the first place. So why is he taking it off, putting it back on? He's not allowed to be wearing the tefillin. That's not something Rebbe is allowed to do. So says the Gemara, says Tosis, that normally someone's not allowed to do it because he can't be Zohar. However, Rebbe was able to conduct himself with extra Kedusha, and he knew how to be careful. Anyway, the Gemara continues. The rabbis were not silent from praying for mercy for Rebbe. Shakla Kuza, so she took a jug, Shadya, and she threw him an Igra L'Ara from the roof to the ground, Ishtiku, and it silenced everyone. They said, oh, what's that? Ishtiku Merachame, they were silenced from praying for mercy. V'noch Nafshe, the Rebbe died. Amrulei, Rabbanan and the Bar Kapara. The rabbi said to Bar Kapara, who is the Talmud of Rebbe, Zil Ayin, go check what Rebbe's status is. They realized something must, likely happened when they stopped asking for mercy. Azal, he went, Ashkeche, he found in Nachnafshe, that Rebbe died. Kare Levushe, he tore his garment. Va'ahadre Lekari Lachore, he put the tear in the back. I guess he didn't want to be the bearer of bad news that Rebbe in fact died. Pasach va'amar, he began his announcement as follows: Arelim umetsukim achsu ba'arin hakodesh. The Arelim, the upper angels, umetsukim and the righteous men, achsu ba'arin hakodesh they're vying and holding on to this holy ark. Nitzchu Arelim Asamzukim, the angels have prevailed over the righteous. The Nishba Aron HaKadosh, and the heavenly, the holy ark has been captured. Amrale, so they said to him, do you mean Nachnafshi, that he died? Amrale, he said to them, you said it, not me. Atim Kamrit Vanel Kaloi Kaimna. You said it, I didn't say it. This is how Bar Kapara conveyed to them that Rebbe died without saying explicitly. Now, B'shas Petirasa Shal Rebbe, at the time of Rebbe's Petira, Zokaf Etzer Etzer Etzbalisav, he raised his 10 fingers, Klapi Mala. Amar, he said, Ribbono Shalom, Goloi V'yadua Lefanecha, it is revealed and known before you, Sheyagati Be'etzer Etzbalisai B'Torah, that I toiled with my 10 fingers in Torah, V'loi Nehenesi Afilo Be'etzba Ketana, I did not have benefit even from the smallest finger. So what does it mean he benefited? He was yogeh with his 10 fingers, and he was not nene, even be'etzva katana. So the Ben Yehoyada offers a few interesting perushim. It's well known that the four fingers represent the four galusim, and the thumb, the goida, represents Klal Yisrael. The zeres, the smallest finger, is Edoim. Rebbe benefited from Edoim because they gave him, they were subservient to Rebbe, Antoninus was subservient to Rebbe, and all the wealth they gave Rebbe, Rebbe sent back to bribe them. So he wasn't nene even from Golos Roimi, that's what it means. He was not nene even me'etzba ketana. Another pshat is, Rabbeinu Bechaye says that the five fingers service the five senses. So this is to wipe your mouth, taste. This conveniently fits in the nose. This is the longest and the widest, is for touch. This is for the eye. So the zeres is for the goidos for the peh. Is it ama? The etzba is for the nose. Zeres. Ama is for the touch. Kamitza is for sight. And the zeres is to stick in your ear. Now, are you allowed to clean out your ear while you're learning? We just had that. You know, technically the tsoyas ha'ozen is not a problem, but the Chazon Ish says that it's considered makam mechusa. But me'ikar hadin, it seems like from the Ben Yoyada, it's mutter. And Rebbe did not even clean out his ear while he was learning. So it seems like it was an extra degree of kedusha. Okay. Now, what's interesting is, I've been thinking about this for the last couple days. Why does the Gemara tell us the story of what Rebbe did at his Patira after it tells us the story that Rebbe already died? The whole Kuf Gimel Amud Beis was that if you were at the Levaya of Rebbe, then whether you're Mezuman L'Chayel and Baba. So presumably he died. We even spoke about him coming back. So why are we going? Why does the Gemara tell us the story backward? And by the way, and at the time that Rebbe died, it should start off by telling us at the time Rebbe died, and then afterwards tell us the story about his death. Now, I don't have an answer to that. I've been wondering about the flow over here. Okay. Anyway, the Gemara continues. Yehi ratzon mofanach meibir will shehe shalom b'menuchasi, that there will be peace in my repose. Yatzis abas kol v'amra, heavenly voice cried out and said, Yavai shalom, let peace come, yanuchu al mishkavaisa, and let them rest on their couch, on their bed. Al mishkavcha mibayle, it should say on your bed. They're talking to Rebbe. What's their bed? Mesayile le Rebchia, this supports Rebchia bar Gamda. Dam Rebchia bar Gamda, Am Rebbe Yossi ben Shol, b'shosha tzadik nifter min oilam, at the time that a tzaddik departs from the world, the heavenly angels say before God, Ribbono shel Olam, tzaddik pleni ba. So and so the tzaddik has come. So, Oimer Lohem, Hashem says to them, Yavoyu tzaddikim, let the righteous come, v'yat v'yetzu l'krasi, and let them go out toward the tzaddik. V'oimrim lo'ayin, the tzaddikim say to tzaddik, Yavoy b'shalom, he should come in peace, yanuchu amishkavaisam, and rest on their repose. Amar Rabbi Lazar said, v'shosh ha'tzaddik nifner min olam, at the time that the tzaddik passes on from the world, shalosh kitash malach ha'shaz yotzis l'krasai, three groups of angels go out toward him. Achas Aymeris, one says, loy boy b'shalom, come in peace. Now you know the famous Gemara in Brachos, maybe Dav Samach Dalet, where it says that you, someone who's alive, you say go toward peace. Someone who's dead, you say go bishalim. So they say by bishalim. The Achas Emeris, one group says, Hoylech nechachai, walk in the straight path. She says, V'achas emeres lai, and one says to him, Yavai shalom, let peace come, yanucha amishkavaisam, and let them rest in their repose. B'shah shaharasha neven min olam, when a wicked person is lost from the world, shalosh kito shamalache chavala yoytzis akrasai, three groups of destructive angels go out toward him. Achas emeres, one says, Ein shalom amar shem l'sham, there is no peace for the wicked. One says to him, "Lema'atseva yishkav." He should rest. His repose should be for sadness. One says to him, "I can't read the next word. What's the next word? Redei v'hashkava es arelam. Go down and lie down with the uncircumcised." So, when a tzaddik passes away, one says, come in peace, one says, walk straight, one says, go in peace and rest on your repose, and by the wicked, it's the opposite. So this concludes the sugya of the Patira of Rebbe. Now it's interesting, the Gemara said earlier, anyone who says that they're at the Patira of Rebbe would... is mezuman l'chayel haba. We said over from Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, because that's Rebbe L'shitase, who holds that just like Yom Kippur is mechaper without tshuva, Misa Sadikim is Machaper without Tshuva. So I had the following thought, that we know that the reason, one of the reasons Shas begins with Kriya Shema is because the Gemara says that on the day that Rabbi Kiva passed away, Rabbi was born. And we know Rabbi Kiva passed away saying Kriya Shema. So Rabbi came into the world at the time of Kriya Shema. So therefore he begins Shas at the time of Kriya Shema, with the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So I was thinking, if Rabbi was born on Yom Kippur, because Rabbi had to have been born on Yom Kippur, maybe that's why he's called Rabbeinu HaKadosh, he was born on the Yom HaKadosh. And it doesn't say when he died, so shouldn't we assume Tzadikim passed away on the day that they're born? So in that case, Rabbi passed away on Yom Kippur. So then we could say something much simpler. Anyone who's at the Levaya of Rabbi, it's not that his averus are neskaper because of the Misa Tzadikim. It's because it was Yom Kippur. And Rebbe Lashitase holds that Yom Kippur is mechaper without tshuva. The only thing is that doesn't fit into what the Gemara says, that on the day that Rebbe passed away, the Rabbanan were goyzer at Tainus. Why would they have the decree of Tainus if it was Yom Kippur? So obviously it wasn't Yom Kippur, yeah? So then that means Rebbe must have passed away a different day. But then Rebbe didn't pass away on the day that he died, unless you say, well, that's why he actually came back. And then he left again. You know, Rebbe made another appearance. So we don't know the day that his second appearance ended. So maybe that was Yom Kippur. Okay. Vayter, says the Mishnah, on the first wide line, Kol zman shehi bebeis aviha, so long as an almana is in her father's house, goyve ksuba sal adam, she could forever collect her ksuba, because she's not spending money of the deceased husband. Kol zman shehi bebeis bala, but if she's in the house of the husband, goyve ksuba sal esim mechamesh shanim, she could collect the ksuba for 25 years. Why? Because sheyesh b'chaf heishanim, there are in 25 years, shetasa toiva, that she will be expending and dishing out favors keneged ksubasa, opposite her ksuba. In other words, if she's in the husband's house, in those 25 years, she's giving away sugar. Ah, you have any soda? You have any candy? You have any flour? You have any eggs? So in 25 years, she'll give away enough of the husband's assets to cover her ksuba. Divrei Rav Meir. This is the opinion of Rav Meir. Sha'amar Mishum Rav Shem Gamliel. Who said the name of Shem Gamliel? V'chachamim Oimrim. The sages say, Kol zman shehi beveis bala, so long as she's in the house of her husband, goiva ksubasa la'olam, she could always collect her ksuba. Why? Because according to the Chachamim, the reason why she perhaps would not be able to collect the ksuba is not because she's giving away from the husband's assets, but rather it's because she's moichal. So in the husband's, so long as she's in the husband's domain, the fact that she didn't demand the ksuba doesn't mean she's moichal, because maybe she's afraid to say anything. She's afraid to demand the ksuba. After all, the husband is supporting her. However, Kozman she beveis avia, but if she's in her father's house and she has no reason not to demand the ksuba, then we say goyve ksuba sat esim v'chameshanim, she could collect the ksuba for up to 25 years. But after 25 years, we say she's meichal. Mesa yarsheha, mesa, if she dies, then yarsheha maskirin ksuba sat esim v'chameshanim, her heirs could demand and collect her ksuba for up to 25 years. Okay, so we have a machlokes, Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Rav Meir holds the din that she can't collect her ksuba after 25 years is because she spends the money. That's only bebeis bala. The Chachamim say that the reason why she can only collect the ksuba for 25 years is because of mechila, and that would only apply bebeis aviha, that if she didn't demand it, we say she's meicha. But if she's bebeis bala, the fact she doesn't demand it doesn't mean she's not meicha. She might be embarrassed to demand it, because the husband is benefiting her. Or at least the estate is. Says the Gemara, Amar le Abaye l'Rabbi Yosef. Abaye said to Rabbi Yosef, Aniya shebi Yisrael, Aniya shebi Yisrael. According to Rameir, The reason for only being able to collect the silver for 25 years is because of the favors that she expends the base bala. So you're telling me, he says, that a poor woman, ad esrim chamei shanim, up to 25 years, she could collect the ksuba, umarsa bas baitos ad esrim chamei shanim, and a rich woman, up to 25 years, she could collect the ksuba? I mean, think about it like this. Marsa bas baitos, one of the Ashira Yerushalayim, she had a large ksuba. She's going also to be mafsid such a big ksuba in 25 years. What everyone, ranging from the smallest ksuba to the biggest ksuba, will deplete it in the exact same amount of time. That doesn't make any sense, that they'll deplete it in the exact amount of time. So the Gemara says, no. Amar lei. Rabbi Yosef said back to Abaye, lefum gamla shichna. In accordance with how big a camel is the burden. So therefore, Marsa bas baisus, she's wealthy, she gives bigger presents, she uses more. And Aniya is poor, so she gives less gifts. But it's pretty uniform that in 25 years, that's when it's going to be depleted. Ibailuhu, so they had the following question. According to Rabbi Meir,
Two and three years.
That what?
That in Ashira has up to 2 years to ask for her mezainis as an almana.
Right. But here we're not talking about the mezainis. What's depleting the ksuba is not the mezainis that the husband feeds her. It's the fact that she spends his money to give to other people. So the Ashira is going to be giving more money, more assets from the husband's estate than the aniya. That's what's depleting the ksuba. Okay. They had the following question in the yeshiva. L'Rav Meir, mahu shetashalish. The din according to Rav Meir that after 25 years, she depletes the ksuba if she's bebeis bala. What if she gave it over to a third part? Meaning, Mausha Teshalish is it per year? Is it this din that in the course of 25 years she depletes the ksuba? Do we prorate it? That if, let's say, she did it for 4 years, so now she could only collect 21 out of the 25 parts of the ksuba, or if she did it for 24 years, she could only collect one of the 25 parts, or is it all or nothing? That if she's in the husband's house for 25 years, she loses the ksuba. If she's there for 24.5, then she doesn't lose the ksuba at all. Is it prorated, or is it like an all or nothing? Teiku, Eliyahu HaNavi will tell us what Rav Meir meant. Why can't Rav Meir tell us what he meant? You know, but Eliyahu HaNavi, I guess when Eliyahu comes in the times of Mashiach, l'chayr, it's before the time of Tchiyas HaMesim, so it doesn't, Rav Meir might not be there, but Eliyahu will be there. Let's analyze the Shita l'chachamim, that as long as she's in the husband's domain, she could collect her ksuba. It's when she's in the father's domain that she's meichel. Amar le Abba le Rabbi Yosef. Abai said to Rabbi Yosef, wait a second. Asoy kodem shkiasa chama goyve ksubasa lachar shkiasa chama loy gavya. Let's say she came before shkia on the 25th year. Before the 25th year was about to come. Right? By the end of the 25th year. So if she came before, then she could collect the ksuba. If she came a minute later, she can't. Bahi porta achilta, in that little extra minute that she's meichel the ksuba, Amar lei, so Rabbi Yosef said, yeah, in, kol midas chachamim kenu, all the measurements of the sages are such. Be'arbam sa toivel, with 40 sa, a woman could be toivel, be'arbam sa chasar kortav, eno yachalit pobehen, with 40 sa minus a little bit, she can't be toivel. So this is what we call mamish in Yana Diyayma. As we know, the Bnei Yisachar says that the 40 days of Elul correspond to the 40 sa' of a mikvah. So it's mamish on Rosh Chodesh Elul. And just like the 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul till Yom Kippur have 960 lugin, so too from Rosh Chodesh Elul till Yom Kippur, there are 960 hours. So here we have Inyana Diyoma. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Rabbi Yehuda said, Rav Heyed Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi Lifnei Rabbi. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi Tesai before Rabbi Shamar Misham Aviv, who said in the name of his father, Loi Shanu Ela She'en Shtar Ksuba Yosa Mitachas Yadeh. The din of Mechila is only if she doesn't demand the Ksuba and she doesn't have the Ksuba. Ava Shtar Ksuba Yosa Mitachas, but if she whips out the Ksuba, Gobi Ksuba Sol Oilam, she could collect it after 90 years. She could have been silent for 90 years. If she whips out the Ksuba, she gets to collect it. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Afilo Shtar Ksuba Yosa Mitachas Yadeh, even if she whips out the Ksuba, Eino Goyva Ela Ad Esim Chamesham, she can only collect for 25 years. So the Shaila is, the din of Mechila, is it only without a Ksuba? Or even with a Ksuba, there is a din of Mechila. So it's a Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav, and Rabbi Lazar, who says even with a Shtar Ksuba, you only collect for 25 years. Masa Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes asked, Bal Choyv Goyva Shaloi Bahaskara. A creditor could collect without ever having demanded the loan. He could collect the debt 100 years later. Hey Chidami, what's the case? If the creditor doesn't have a shtar b'may gavi, what is he collecting with? Ella did not get shtara, but rather he's holding the shtar. And what? A Baal Choyv could collect, even though he never said anything. A Baal Choyv hu de la barachuli, a creditor, is not Meichel. Ha amana achiltahu. But amana is Meichel, even if she has the shtar. So we see that even with the shtar ksuba, after 25 years, you're Meichel. Says the Gemara, Rav Sheshes hu Meisavla, he asked this question, hu mafarikla, and he answered it. La'olam deloy nakat shtar. Really, he's not holding the shtar. On here, what are we talking about? There's no, really, we're talking about without a shtar. And that's why a Baal Choyv is not Meichel, but a Amana is Meichel. Aye, but without a shtar, what are you collecting with? You're collecting because the debtor admits he owed it. He did owe it. But the question is, was the Baal Choyv Meichel? So we say that after 25 years, the Baal Choyv is not Meichel, but the Amana is. But we don't have a proof. She's Meichel even when there's a shtar. Aye, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Shoinin, the Braisa teaches, Grusha Rei Kabal Choyv. A Grusha is like Kabal Choyv. And that she could collect, and she's never Meichel, even though she never claimed the Ksuba. Hei Chidam, Idoloi Nekita Ksuba. If she doesn't have a Ksuba, but my Gavio, what she's collecting with. Elalavda Nekita Ksuba, must be she's collecting the Ksuba. Ugrusha Hidala Barachulihi. Only the Grusha, we say, that she could collect, even though it's more than 25 years, and there's no mechila. Ha amana achalta. The amana is meichel. So, and it must be where there is a get. It must be where there's a ksuba. So Gemara says, nachinam yukshchai maida. Really, there's no ksuba. And a grusha is not meichel, but amana would be. Why didn't the Gemara know that you could say it's B'shechai Moida in this case? It already said in the case before. I'm not sure. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, we will hold it over here. And I wish everyone a wonderful night. Great to see you. And Bez Hashem, Thursday night, 9:15, okay? Hatzlach Rab, everyone. Good night. Kol Tov. Be well. Agun Chodesh.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.